Hey, everybody. This is Sonny. I am just letting you know that you're listening on the iTunes feed. So go sign up for the Patreon. You know, it's a good show. You want to listen to it when it comes out. And you want to listen to the bonus episodes. Bonus episode this upcoming Friday is going to be a look back at the 2011 Oscars. You know, we figure, like, what's the point of trying to figure out what's going to win this year? We might do that anyway in a later episode. But the most interesting thing is trying to figure out what has stood the test of time. It's hard to tell what's going to stand the test of time. So we're going to look back at the past, see what has. This episode is about the Tinder swindler. And we also had a lot of talk about the Papa John's calzone. So, you know, if you're into strange food items from a chain of pizza purveyors, good episode for you. Anyway, go sign up with Patreon, subbeacon.com. Fun times.
I shared my whole heart with him. And then he asked me if I wanted to travel with him on a private jet. I was like, shit. He took me to a 5-star hotel. He said we had a special connection. It felt like stepping into a movie. And then in the middle of the night, he said there was something he wants to tell me. He said he has threats against him. He needs our cash. $20,000, $30,000,
$140,000.
His life depended on me. That's when police tell me the man I love was never real. Everything's a lie.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Jonathan V. Last and Sonny Bunch. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon's now available through Patreon. Go to subbeacon.com. You will easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and don't forget about the Subbeacon merchandise store at tpublic.com. Gentlemen, how are we? JVL, what is going on?
I had the Batman pizza calzone.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. You sent a picture.
We talked about this on the show last week.
I did not realize it was not just a pizza, but a calzone. No.
Well, it's a pizza and two half calzones done in the shape of the bat symbol.
It's amazing looking.
And the calzones are stuffed with cheese and a white garlic sauce.
Oh, yes. Yes, thank you. Thank you for that.
Who can say what it is?
Salty. Is it so big that they had to put it on a flatbed truck?
It's very large.
All right, because you know, for scale, the
it was hard to tell. Yeah, it was hard to tell from your photo.
From your photo,
enormous.
It looked
enormous.
Like a regular pizza that was just eaten on the sides, but in fact,
well, it was folded like it's like an origami with dough.
Wow,
and
this thing is amazing.
It was amazing. Well, so this was a Fat Tuesday dinner for me.
Yes, good, and good for you.
Even
that's
on
a great
Fat Tuesday, I could only eat half of it. That's how serious
wait a minute,
it was.
Half of the pizza calzone.
Question.
Yeah.
What's the difference between Fat Tuesday and another Tuesday?
All right.
You know what? We've been doing this show. We've had maybe five Fat Tuesdays now, and we still have to explain this.
Anyway, I have an important question.
Is that
question.
When you eat the king cake?
I have an important question
bad. That's
for you both.
Good. That's pretty good, Sonny.
Who is paying whom for this merchandise tie-in? So we have The Batman, owned by Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm. We have Little Caesars, owned by whatever owns Little Caesars. I assume it's a small man named Caesar. But there's a product, but it's really advertised. Who are these Little Caesars paying Warners to license it, or is Warners paying Little Caesars to a small fee to advertise?
I have to imagine personally that it's got to be Little Caesars doing most of the heavy lifting here. I can't imagine Warners is going to get that piece, that much of that big a piece of the pie, so to speak, from every pizza. So I don't know. I mean, how many pieces are going to be sold?
I don't know. I've never really thought about this before. But I think in a case like this, Little Caesars has paid Warner Brothers some amount of money. Or promise. It depends on what we mean by paid, because like one thing that the deal could be is like we will buy $5 million worth of television advertisements. to advertise the Batman pizza, and that's part of like the ad spend. For
there
the movie.
You go. Right. This is because I mean, in the old days, Victorino, do you remember
the Batman comes out at the end of the commercial? They always do the Batman comes out on
the Return of the Jedi collector's glasses
from
McDonald's. I think it was my. It could have been Burger King. Like, I think it was McDonald's.
What do you mean, like eyeglasses or glasses to drink?
No, glasses.
Like mugs.
Glasses. It was made of real glass, not made of plastic. And there were four or six of them. There's like the one with Jabba and Princess Leia, and the one with the Emperor. And this was the biggest thing in the world.
That's right.
When we were like 11 years old.
Yes, I did not collect. I was aware of it, but I did not collect those glasses.
And I assume that McDonald's wrote a giant check to George Lucas for those rights.
Yeah.
But the world has changed to such a large degree that with a movie now is just desperate to get people in the theaters.
Yeah.
And so maybe Warner Brothers is, you know, either greasing up Little Caesars, so to speak. Or it's a make good for both of them. Like, maybe there's no money changing hands. Maybe they both feel like Little Caesars thinks we can sell a couple extra pizza calzones, and Warner Brothers thinks we can get some free advertising.
I think Warner Brothers almost certainly got some sort of licensing. The competition, especially on something like Batman or Spider-Man or whatever, like, there are a limited number of properties that are this popular and will attract this much attention that you farm those out.
I hear what you're saying, but if that were true, you would think that the Victor would be a more prestigious eatery than Little Caesars?
I don't understand. This is owned by the literal emperor of Rome. What could be more
prestigious? I think Little Caesars is
prestigious than this.
Like, way down on our food chain.
You would say below, so to speak. You would say even today below Pizza Hut?
Below Pizza Hut, below Taco Bell, below Burger King, below
McDonald's.
Pizza
Hut is not even what it used to be.
Below Papa John's. Yeah. Now, I argue Little Caesars Pizza is better than all of theirs. But I'm just saying, as a glamour property, right, a prestige, if the Monopoly board was all about places that sell food in vaguely restaurant site ways, this is the, like, Mediterranean.
Oh,
Baltic.
Wow. Baltic. Yeah, yikes. That's
down.
Yeah,
I don't know. I have a question about it. Like, so did you just walk in and pick one up and take it out? Was it just sitting there waiting for you?
No, you ordered on the app. You have to order it ahead.
To be the thing with Little Caesars is that you would go in there and you get the you ball up like a little $5 bill and you throw it at the guy at the behind the cashier.
And you got a pizza
as hard as you can.
Yeah.
And if you hit him on the forehead, you get to take the pizza and you and
two
you
pizzas.
Walk
it's always two pizzas.
It was two pizzas.
You treat them
pizza,
like this
pizza,
is a
that's
strip
right.
club.
I don't know, but I thought that was the whole. I thought that was the whole point of Little Caesars.
Yeah. You order on the. It's so great. So you order on the app, and then you walk inside. You don't even have to talk to a human being because they've got this large vertical oven, and your app has a QR code that you scan. And this oven has like 15 little doors on it.
So you can't get somebody else's.
Your door opens and your pizzas are waiting for you. You reach in, you grab them.
Are they made to order?
Yeah,
of course they are.
Like you order. Well, look, these are all questions I have because I don't go to trash pizza places like this, all right? I go to classy joints.
Wow, what a setup. What a setup.
I go to classy joints like Domino's. Or
Little Caesars so much better than
CC's,
Domino's.
CC's Pizza Buffet. Have you guys ever been to a CC's?
No,
I have been to a CC's once.
Where is that?
I went
horrifying.
I went once. They're all over, man.
Really?
It's a chain. It's like it's a pizza buffet.
All you
chain.
Can eat pizza. Oh.
It's the worst pizza you've ever had. Oh. But there's a million pounds of it just there for the taking.
So I mean, look, sometimes,
and it's like $6. It's like the cheapest. It's not like the Bacchanal buffet that we talked about on the book.
Yeah, the reverse, which is the reverse. $70.
It's like it's the cheapest. It's like the cheapest piece of shit pizza you've ever had in your life. But there is like every combination of toppings you would want, and like there are dessert pizzas.
There are,
and it's like you get the whole family in there. It's like $20.
Oh, the whole that's good for the it's a family value. There are certain days, I will admit, there are certain days where in my mind I want quantity over quality. It's just the way I feel like. It's like I need to be satisfied by volume more than taste.
You want to be filled up.
I want to be filled. I'm going to Subway. You know,
acreage.
Yes, you want to be acreage. So, very nice. No, you know, the only
Subway. But the problem with Subway is that it's not actually filling, though. A foot long sub at Subway is less filling than like a 8 or 10 inch sub from Quiznos.
Well, Quiznos has more girth. It's wider sub. But no,
it's really not about the length, Sonny. It's about the girth.
Yeah, yeah, no, it is. It is, and it's sort of like, but stretches, you know what it is, though? I really stuff it. I really.
You just shove it in there.
Yeah. No, I load it in as much as possible. It's
heavy. Do you need an appetizer to get you sort of ready for it?
No, no, you know, I just like load it all up with as many toppings as possible. And then, and that's it. I'm not necessarily happy.
I want to know what your Subway order is. What is your?
Okay, I haven't been to a Subway. I haven't been to a Subway in years, by the way. Because
you walk into
not
a Subway and
me
it's Fat Tuesday, whatever means. And so you're hungry apparently. What is that? What is that?
I'm
going to
say,
give
me a foot long Italian BMT, and I want the mayo as well as the Italian oil and dressing. You know, the shredded lettuce, the tomato, pickles, black olives, oregano, maybe some extra meat, because I like...
You want double meat.
I want double meat. Is that a thing? I can't remember. I'm getting confused. Sure. That might be just pot bellies, but no. Okay, double meat, and yeah, that should do the trick, and a bag of chips.
Onions?
Oh, yeah, yeah, onions, yeah. You know what I do? I told this to our friend Bonnie Benwick once where I said, I can't remember, maybe I mentioned it on the show, where I told her sometimes I would make it my goal to try to replicate an actual Jersey sub at a Subway. Like, try to find one that is the closest thing to an actual sub, a real sub that you would get in New Jersey. JVL knows what I'm talking about. And she just looked at me. She said, that's the saddest thing she's ever heard. But you know
disgusting.
What?
It's all
disgusting. What's the difference between a New Jersey sub and a sub from literally anywhere else?
No, no, no. It's just not the same. It's just
well, the first thing is that everything that they serve you at Subway is actually turkey.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of...
Yeah, it's
you
all
know what
pressed
it is?
Meats.
It's actually... I looked into this, and it's like the... not the BMT, but they had this other special, and it was like with bologna, ham, turkey. It's all turkey. It's all turkey.
So if I give you an analogy, Subway is to meat... what MDF is to wood.
I don't know what MDF is.
MDF, manufactured particle board. Right, particle board. Oh. When you're the stuff you buy from IKEA.
Ah, okay,
right?
Yes.
That part of where it's all just like wood shavings pressed together with glue to make it look like wood. And that's the version of what Subway's
and
getting.
The funny
that
thing is
not ham.
The bread smells good. You walk in it. Oh my gosh, it's bacon. The fresh bread.
The bread
and
does
you,
smell good.
And you go in
it's
and
disgusting.
It's
disgusting.
Oh, for example, they also have these new. Again, I haven't been to a Subway in some time now because there's not one near my work anymore. But you know, people. You know, you see these commercials with these professional athletes, and they're bragging about their Subway sandwiches with like the turkey, bacon, and avocado. I would not get the avocado, okay, from Subway because it's probably dark, dark green. And here's my one thought on Subway, and then I'm going to move on, which is our friend John McCormick, he's a former Subway, a sandwich artist. Right?
Sandwich artist.
I said to him, I could never have that job because I could not be able to resist the temptation of working there. And then some girl would say, I'd like the foot long. And I'd say, I bet you do. And then I'd get fired just like that. I can't do it. I couldn't resist. So anyway.
And yet you lasted 20 years at a prestigious magazine. Couldn't last a day at Subway.
Could not last a day at Subway.
Harass a, you can do a
so
different kind of
So, would you like the,
for...
yeah, you want the extra meat? Yeah, so there's no way that I could, you know.
I haven't been to a Subway in at least 2 years.
I haven't eaten from a Subway
like,
ever.
3 years.
Ever?
Ever. Really?
Ever.
It's disgusting.
Well, that's
disgusting.
How do you know it's disgusting if you haven't had it?
Yeah, because
I would go with you when you were getting Subway. I'd walk in there with you. Remember? Do you remember the subterranean food court, Victorino?
Yes, of course.
At McPherson?
Course.
The underground food court at McPherson.
Yeah.
Was that McPherson or Farragut?
Yes, at the basement of Farragut North.
There was the world's worst McDonald's.
Yes.
Literally the worst McDonald's in the entire world. Can you
imagine what that was like in the kitchen probably? Or what was
and
going
the
on?
Subway and underground, sharing tunnels with the subway. Literally, the subway sharing tunnels with the actual subway.
And there was one of those food troughs, one of those yes. like hot buffets that oh, yeah. had like a no, it I, had a sushi
I,
stand.
Yes, I actually got Chinese food from that basement.
Every once in a while I would get a pound of Chinese food for $12
a
or whatever.
Pound.
It just was, because, well, that's it how was, you measure it. It's like I would it like it's like I'm gonna have that's a little right. bit of this, a little bit of this up, 1 pound of food, here we go. $12.
Okay. All right. That was good. That was a lovely trip down memory lane that began with the Batman pizza.
How was the Batman pizza?
Delicious.
How was it delicious? Was what about it the calzone? You hoped it would be?
The pizza part slightly better than the calzone part. The calzone part had a little more dough than I would like it to have. I'd like my calzone, the dough, to be a little... Maybe some of the dough, not all the way cooked through. Hard to say.
Well, that was good. You know, it takes work. And also, what do they stuff it with? Was it with ham and cheese and mushroom?
I went all cheese.
Oh.
All cheese and my garlic and the garlic white sauce. You can. You can put in pepperoni. There's all sorts of different. But anyway, the point is, this enormous thing is $7.
Could it feed the whole family? Was it enough for the whole family?
Seven
or was,
well,
no,
you
the only because one I have. I was the only one eating because nobody else would eat it except for me and Flash. And Flash can no longer be fed by yeah. normal. Proportions. Flash now eats portions. Elephant portions. Yeah. We're at the phase of life where for Flash, dinner begins at 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. and basically ends when we force him to go to bed at 9:30.
Oh, man.
He just eats the whole time.
I miss those days. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I mean, I still live those days, but I miss those days when I was able to actually metabolize like that.
And yeah.
That's very impressive.
Anyway, what are you boys up to?
Yeah. Sonny, what's going on with you?
Can we do some knife talk for a second?
Knife talk?
Some kitchen knife talk?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Miyabi.
Sure.
I have a question for Vic. Vic, have you ever used a Nikiri knife before?
No, but I've been always... I've always been fascinated by Japanese knives. I have German knives, right?
Of course we do.
Wusthof from Solingen, Germany. But I've always been interested in Shun. Now, what is this one? Tell me about
well,
this.
Well, I have Henkel knives, which I
yeah, German. Also German.
But so there's a Henkel. Henkel makes a Nikiri knife, and a Nikiri knife is basically. Have you ever used a Santoku knife?
Yeah, Santoku. I have.
So like a Santoku knife. Imagine a Santoku knife, except it is shaped more like a meat cleaver.
Oh, sure.
So it's like rectangular.
Yeah.
And it's like it's Those what it is. It's a knife for you. You want to use it to bring straight chop down like
for,
like that.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
It's
but
not
what
like
are you
a,
using it
like
on?
Your,
though, for...
So I just got it yesterday. I used it for the first time today to dice an onion, and I diced that onion in like 10 seconds. It was amazing. It was the most amazing knife.
It's also terrifying, but
it is manufacture sharp, so it is like. Like if I miss by a little bit,
no,
gonna have to go to the hospital.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, yeah. That's just always watch where your fingers are.
But I have to tell you, man, I diced this onion, and again, like tense. I
like
just made
butter.
my little boom boom, and then boom boom boom. It was amazing. I don't know how I've ever lived without this Nikiri
yeah, well,
knife.
I use the Santoku for almost everything.
Really?
Versus the chef's knife. I just prefer
really?
It.
See, I prefer before this, mm-hmm. I preferred the chef's mm-hmm. knife. It was just, it's easier to, like, something about the Santoku knife, which I like and use, but it is my secondary knife. It's the knife I use if my chef's knife is dirty.
And there's nothing more dangerous than a dull knife, because that's where most accidents happen. But I would say what fascinates me by the Shun knife, and I don't know if your Nikiri knife is like this, is those Shun knives. It's all forged from the same like metal. There's no separate handle, and then they put mm-hmm. the blade into it. It's all one.
Yeah, yeah.
And the way
well, that's
is.
What that. Yeah, these the
oh,
Henkel knives are all
oh,
forged in.
Oh, that's good.
Solid. Nice. I guess I don't. Yeah. I'm not a knife.
Do you?
I'm
own
not a knife.
Non-solid forged knives, Victor.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like
no, you know what I mean. The where it's all one Like, it's not a separate handle. So, like, Vustov.
Oh, you mean they're, it's like metal
Metal all the way. Like, entire thing is metal. Even the handle's metal. It's not like a wood thing that's put around, you know, a handle.
Gotcha,
not a separate handle put.
No, I don't have that. That's not mine have the, like, the
yeah, I was going to say Henkel knives
on the side.
Are traditional knives. Yeah, but those Japanese
knives.
Those
are very stylish. Yeah.
Cut like that.
I wish I was more of a knife snob. Mm-hmm. I feel like knife snobbery is a thing I could get into.
Oh, sure.
With one of those great like metal magnet bands that you like.
You have those. We keep our knives on a magnet band on the wall.
Yeah, What kind of knives do you have,
JVL?
You know, so we foolishly, these are all things we got when we got married. You know, they were wedding gifts.
Same.
And we have a bunch of the mid-range Henkels.
Mm-hmm.
But we got them as a set, and I now realize the truth is you should never buy things at a set. You just buy
the
knives
ones that
as
you
pieces.
Need. Yeah. With the exception of steak knives.
We took a class at, what's the frou-frou?
Williams-Sonoma.
French. No. The French one. There's a French cooking class.
Sur le top.
Yeah. Anyway, and at the cooking class, they let us use this high-end Miyabi. And it was so amazing that, of course, I walked out of there with it.
That's the whole point. Right? Mission accomplished.
And this thing, like, when you look at the edge of the blade, you can see where the steel was cold dipped.
Mm-hmm.
You could see the... Oh,
yeah.
I swear to God that when I take this thing off of the magnetic rack, you can hear it sing.
Sing!
Like a samurai sword.
Like a
Hattori Hanzo.
What a Hanzo. It's a Hanzo.
When you take the Hattori Hanzo, it's like that. It's amazing. And now if
have you ever used a Nikiri knife?
No. I don't cook. I don't do any of those things.
I actually cut a lot of vegetables. I spend a lot of time dicing vegetables.
That's good to improve your skills.
For the last like 5 hours, I've been wondering like how I lived for the last 2 years without this.
What I would like is actually to sharpen my knives. It's one thing to eat, I have an evener, you know what I mean? But to actually like go to a place where they do it, because, you know, I mean, it's a whole separate thing. Evening a knife, you know, with using a whetstone or whatever is much different than actually sharpening it, which is a whole other thing.
Won't they do that for you at Sur La Table?
Yeah, same thing. Williams Sonoma does too.
Drop off your knives at $5 a knife.
Yes. I always felt like as soon as I drop it off, like I don't know how long it would take, but then I'd be like, that would be the night that I need that knife or something. So I just haven't gotten around to doing that. But I guess I should. Well, good for you, Sonny.
Victorina, anyway. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fine. Happy Lent to you, JVL. Did you give up something?
I did. I just don't want to talk about it.
Ooh,
how about you? What did you give up?
The usual, what I've been giving up for the last 3 years.
Gluttony?
Don't be insane. That'd be like, I'm giving up breathing.
Were you going to reduce your gluttony for a little?
Oh, yeah. Somebody
you don't
mentioned,
have to give it up.
Somebody
you
mentioned
just
RG. Somebody mentioned RG on Twitter. I could do that, but I did have 2 pieces of leftover Popeye's chicken for lunch. That probably was not in the spirit of RG.
They were leftovers.
They were leftover.
So
were
you were just trying to not have it be a sin of let it go to waste.
Well, that's one of my big things. You know, I would be, if anything, I'm like, I would be like the patron saint of wastage. Civilization.
You've done that
before. I do that, but then that means that I have all this extra time that I have to spend either reading, cleaning, or with my family. In that order, by the way. You see? Very hard.
But you get to watch Kate play Civilization. And that's pretty hot.
That's right. No, she hasn't played in a while.
You just sit behind her while she's
You know what? It drives
me
crazy.
What are you doing? Forward, Kate. Eyes. Kate, you keep your eyes on the screen. Don't turn around.
It drives me crazy. I can't watch her play because it's like just not doing what I do. I will say this. I managed, yesterday being Ash Wednesday, to do basically a full-fledged fast, which is I skipped breakfast. I kind of skipped lunch. I just snacked on these expired goldfish and emerald nuts. And then I had dinner. And then the next morning, I ran 5 miles. You know how much weight I lost? 1 pound. That was
a pound in 2 days. That's great.
No, it's terrible. I'm on the BMI chart. I'm like 10 pounds overweight.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's fucking fantastic. This is like Anna Kendrick bragging about how she isn't very pretty.
Oh, I'm so touched. Not to get okay, fine. I won't get into any. I don't know. Who knows if you're where you are on BMI? You might be off the charts. Speaking of which, over the weekend, Uncharted remained at the top spot at the box office with $23 million, followed by Dog with $10.2 million. Not to be confused with Power of the Dog.
Different movie.
And Sam Elliott. And in third place, Spider-Man No Way Home with $5.8 million. It's the same three movies in the same position from last week. What is happening here? Box office thoughts.
Well, nobody released anything for, don't worry. The Batman is going to come out, and we'll talk about that next week. But then nobody's releasing anything for a month after that. It's not till, Morbius.
So, Sonny, you nailed Spider-Man almost exactly.
It's true.
Tell me about the Batman's opening weekend.
Oh, all right. On the record.
I've been eyeballing it. I've been eyeballing it by looking at the show times. And here is an interesting little tidbit. When Spider-Man No Way Home came out, virtually every showing at my local draft house, my local Alamo draft house, sold out. Virtually every showing, and if it didn't sell out, there were one or two seats. That was all weekend. This weekend for the Batman, I didn't check right before the show, but I did check earlier in the day. No sellouts yet. So I think it's not going to do anywhere near Spider-Man No Way Home. But Spider-Man No Way Home opened to what, $250 million? So it's not. It's no shame not to open to that. If I had to eyeball it, I was thinking it was going to do 150. I think it's probably going to do a little worse than that. I'm thinking 130 to what, somewhere between 130 and 140. Let's say.
Wow.
That's my official estimate.
All right.
But I might be lowballing this.
JVL, what do you think?
No idea. I look at it and I really think to myself, does anybody want to see this movie?
That's my question.
With Robert Pattinson and Zoe Kravitz, who are neither of whom are household names, and everything about the trailer looks dark and unappealing. It's 3 hours long.
Oh!
Had there been real movies in theaters, like a normal thing, I might have said, I'll take the under on that. But I do wonder if there is just some, people just want to go out. I'd like to go see a movie.
Yeah.
The only movie that's been released in 3 weeks.
People want to go see a movie. People want to go see a movie. And, look, this is the thing with basically every new release is that all of these big movies are doing slightly better than you might think just because there's nothing else out. Even Uncharted, I think, probably overperformed a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Compared to what people thought it was going to do. I don't know. Look, again, my gut sense on this is that it's going to do in the 130 to 140. And there are two other things to consider here. Thing the first is that because it is 3 hours long, you only get two show times per night. You get a 7 p.m. show and a 10 p.m. show. But it's on every screen.
Right.
It's on 4,100 or 4,400 screens or some insane number. So it's on all the screens. And there's nothing else new. There hasn't been anything new in 2 weeks. And really, there hasn't been anything people have been desperate to see since Spider-Man.
Which is months ago.
Yeah.
Months ago.
Victorino, you're going to have to use the Run Pee app.
I know.
For this.
So 3 hours?
So you have to sit on the aisle.
3 hours.
And you're going to have to do Run Pee.
I want to, in the bonus episode, remind me to ask this, but when we talk about The Godfather, I want to know when Vic's Run Pee moment was. Save it for the bonus. Stop. Don't spoil it.
Saturday.
All right. So we'll get to that. But I don't know. I feel like I'm probably underselling it here, and it'll do 175 or something. But my gut feels low. It feels under The Dark Knight.
Yeah, I'm and with JVL on this. 150. I don't know. Yeah, people want to go out, but I don't know how many people say I gotta see the Batman again. And have you seen it yet, Sonny? You haven't seen it yet.
I have.
Oh, you have. Okay. Well, don't tell us, but I mean, I hope we don't have to go through the whole origin story again, as JVL asked.
Have you seen Batman Begins, Vic?
Yeah, sure. Oh, really? It's
not
that again?
Like that.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not the, it's not exactly the same. It's different.
Is Liam Neeson back?
Yes.
Oh, he's not. Oh, come on. Okay.
Gary Oldman replaces Jeffrey Wright as Commissioner Gordon halfway through.
Do we need Paul Dano? Like, do we need any of these? This is the weirdest casting.
Yes.
Like, yes. I'm sorry.
You're not excited for this movie. You're very down on this movie.
If this thing was on the Max, I would 100% just watch it at home on the Max instead of going to a theater.
Yeah, I agree.
And I want to go to a theater. Like, I want to go to a movie theater and see movies. And this, I just look at it and I can tell it's gonna, it's, my expectations are very low.
Who directed this?
Matt Reeves, who did the two most recent Planet of the Apes movies.
Oh, right. Yeah, sure. Was it?
I think he did Cloverfield.
Okay.
He was the guy who directed Cloverfield. Right. Remember Cloverfield?
Yeah, sure.
Wasn't there a Batman movie that fell apart because the guy divorced Rachel Weisz, right? The director was married to Rachel Weisz, and she left him for Daniel Craig.
Before Batman Begins?
No, post. I feel like he had a Batman in development date. Post the Nolan Batman thing. All effort. Anyway, you guys talk.
Sonny, you had some concern over another promo for Batman, not a pizza, but rather for popcorn.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to order this. Should we save this for the Batman episode?
Oh, yeah, no. Okay,
you're going to get it, right? You're going to go to an AMC and get the Batman head popcorn vessel.
Do you get it at the theater?
Darren Aronofsky.
There was at one point a Darren Aronofsky
Batman. Yes.
There was a Darren Aronofsky Batman Year One script that had made the rounds, but I'm pretty sure that was before Nolan. I'm pretty sure that was before Christopher Nolan Batman.
Oh,
Begins.
You are right. You are right, Victorino. Yeah. Sonny. I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, so we're not going to talk about the Batman head?
Let's talk about the Batman head tomorrow.
All right.
Or
next week.
I'm just telling you, it doesn't look like it's
worth the money. I bet you it's not. It's not as deep in terms of how much popcorn you could fit in the head.
You're not sure how much you can jam into the mouth of
That's right.
The Batman
head. The Hermione Granger head tie-in, though, for the Harry Potter anniversary.
Isn't there going to be a Harry Potter anniversary re-airing and they can do a tie-in like that?
It's made by Real Doll. It's a popcorn holder made by Real Doll.
Is Real Doll a made in Japan company?
Probably a bunch of perverts over there. What I'm thinking of is I want the Temple of the Doom.
The monkey brain.
I'm telling you.
Get jelly bellies
it,
in
it
there.
Looked, it looked.
Do people look? Just say what it is because people don't know what we're talking about.
AMC is advertising. It's like $27 or something. And it's a large popcorn inside a bucket that is shaped like a Batman mask, like cowl, you know, the Batman cowl. And the funniest thing about it, from my perspective anyway, is that they call it the Batman popcorn vessel. Which is it sounds like an urn that you buy at a discount funeral parlor.
That is
like
something
else. It's the most affordable vessel on the list. I don't know.
If you ask me, $27 for a popcorn container sounds like a real ripoff. Speaking of which, this week we're discussing Tinder Swindler on Netflix, a documentary. Sonny, this was your idea. How about a Big Boy review?
I wouldn't say it was my idea. I was just throwing out an option for something we could watch at home. Sure. Okay, so don't pin this on me if you didn't like it.
I'm all for watching at home.
No, I in lieu of doing a Big Boy review, I just want to read. I want to read the plot and background section of Wikipedia. Because it gets at both the banality and absurdity of this whole thing fairly well. Yes. All right. An Israeli man born Shimon Hayut traveled around Europe presenting himself as the son of Russian-Israeli diamond mogul Lev Lebev. He used the dating app Tinder to contact women as Simon Lebev and trick them into lending him money that he never repaid. He would charm women with lavish gifts and take them to dinners on private jets using money he borrowed from other women he previously conned. I'm hopping out of the summary for a second. Imagine like a pyramid scheme, but for dating, where you like scam women and use that money to scam more women, and you just live high on the hog the whole way down. All right, anyway. He would later pretend he was being targeted by his, quote, enemies, end quote, often sending the same messages and images to each woman, indicating that he had been attacked with a knife, but that his bodyguard had saved them and he was hurt. And he then asked the victims to help him financially due to the breach of security, allegedly hindering his use of credit cards and bank accounts. The women would often take out bank loans and new credit cards in order to help. He would then use the money gained through the deception to lure new victims while essentially operating a Ponzi scheme. Later, he would pretend to repay his victims by sending forged documents showing fake bank transfers and then break off contact. He would ghost them. It's estimated that he swindled $10 million from people around the globe. Now, look, that is like the bare bones explanation of what this movie is actually about. What it really is about is human loneliness and the fact that all of these women are so pathetic and desperate for attraction and so lost and bereft in the world of online dating.
Yeah, that they will literally
fall in love with a guy over Tinder, have sex with him, and then when he starts asking them for tens of thousands of dollars, take out bank loans and send him the money because they're so desperate for connection. I watched this with my wife, and our main takeaway from this was we can never, ever get divorced because dating, the worst thing ever. It was bad when we were, it was bad before.
For who?
And now it is.
Dating's the worst thing ever. For who, Sonny?
Well, either way. I mean, you know,
It depends on your MO.
Think about how much of your soul you have to give away to successfully pull off the Simone Levesque. I could do it.
Goodness.
I mean, I'm not saying I couldn't scam women out of tens of millions of dollars. Yeah.
You'd have to be like a shark.
On
You're constantly moving.
I'd be showing them my Nikiri knife. I'd be like, look, a poor person wouldn't have a knife like this. And then you know, but I wouldn't want to because it would be really, really depressing. Anyway, the whole thing is wonderful. And one last note from the Wikipedia. This is the last entry. In late February 2022, Lebev launched an NFT collection and merchandise with images seen and quotes heard from the film. So it's like it's the perfect encapsulation of all of the sad fakery that is online media and personal dating in the modern world. When I described it for people on the Patreon, I said this is basically like a coda to our late capitalism trilogy, the Firefest doc, the LuLaRoe show,
WeWork
show. But JBL, you had a different comparison.
I will say this. Hold on, before JBL goes in, I started watching this and midway through, even for somebody like me, who's fairly sympathetic to, you know,
to what?
Stupid people.
Sympathetic to what, Vic?
I'm not gonna get into it. And all I thought was, man, this movie's really gonna bring out the best in JVL. Okay, JVL, go.
This is not in the same vein as LuLaRoe, WeWork, and Fyre Festival. This is Nightmare Alley. This is a movie about grifters grifting other grifters, because the women in this movie think that they are pulling something over on the world. They think, oh, look at this. I got me a super rich guy to take care of me.
Okay, hold on. I see Sonny's face. I see Sonny's face.
Okay. Every
They're just looking
person,
for love. They're just looking for love, and they think that they hit the jackpot.
The main character in this is, what's her name? Cecilia. So she is a grown-ass woman who talks about the Disney version of Beauty and the Beast as both an aspirational story and a life handbook. She
it's
says,
real. This is real.
She says that what she really wants most in the world is true love, and so she's been on Tinder for 9 years.
Yeah,
she loves it. She loves it. I haven't come across her yet.
This woman is, again, she thinks that she has hit the jackpot with Simon, and she jumps into bed with him because she thinks he's rich. I'm sorry, if Simon presented as a guy who worked over at Intertrode and was making $60,000 a year, was she going to hop in bed with him on day one? I kind of doubt it. And then at the end of the movie, they're like, you know, are you back on Tinder? And she's like, oh, yeah, I was back on Tinder like the week after. This is the, I'm sorry, sweetheart, you're the geek now. Oh, you're the geek show.
Wow.
Too bad.
Wow.
You thought you were going to scam this guy into settling down and marrying you, and now you're the one in the geek show. Boom.
I will say, if it was role reversal, if I met a woman who was like a jet setter, and wined me and dined me, yeah, I would probably on the first date. Yeah, that's all I'm just gonna say. and then here's my credit card. Go crazy, I guess. I don't know. Sonny, you feel like you want a rebuttal.
Well, no, but I just think it's again, like, set aside JVL's distaste for these women, which I share largely. I mean, they seem like vaguely
they're not sympathetic,
terrible and annoying. Like, it's not that they're not sympathetic. It's just that they're so pathetic. Really, I found them to be
they seem to be
pathetic.
They seem to have been doing quite well in life prior to this guy.
Do
these women strike you as being especially high on the cognitive scale? Do you look at them and think, yes, this looks like the type of intellect which is going to have a totally promising professional career? I don't.
I feel like that he was specifically targeting these Scandinavian women. Do they have something in common? Because there is this gullibility thing about these one is Finnish and the other one's Swedish. And I'm like, oh, there's a pattern here.
Finnish,
there's a pattern.
No, it's Norwegian. And the other two are from the Netherlands.
Dutch.
Belgian or Dutch, something.
Yes, Dutch. The third one is Dutch.
I can't remember. I watched this like 3 weeks ago. So,
but also, I'm sorry. We get verbatim transcripts of what messages to them. We get the audio of voicemails that he leaves them. We get the picture of the letter that he gives the other one, which looks like it was written by a six-year-old.
Yes. Yes, very weird.
And if you are listening, this guy does not present as a master of the universe. To look at this guy and think to yourself, yeah, no, this guy looks like he's worth a couple $1 billion, requires an unbelievable level of the suspension of disbelief. And it's because they wanted to believe. They were grifters who grifted themselves.
Let me say this. He did, you know, lavish them with, you know, first of all, fancy hotels, restaurants, caviars, the private jets, the fancy cars. And so I would be like, wow, this guy really has a lot of money. The part that would set me off is he just gives off a really shady vibe. So yeah, he might have these things like the driving around in whatever car they're you know, in the fancy cars and the caviar and the fancy hotels and whatever else. But just clearly shady. Sonny.
The guy is like, I mentioned this to somebody, and I want to be very careful how I put this, but he is like a walking, talking anti-Semitic stereotype. Like, if you had a character, like this in a movie, like a shady, lying Israeli who is like targeting, you know, beautiful blonde Scandinavian women, people would be like, this movie is anti-Semitic. Yeah. This movie is filled with anti-Semitic tropes and I don't want any part of it. But because it's real life, you just have to be like, well, he's a shady crook.
Well, I appreciate they had a little clip of one of the victims on, I think, Israeli media.
Yep.
And the host was saying, I want to assure you that not all these Israeli men are like this. You know?
But then he goes back to Israel and gets like 6 months in prison and is free again.
Yeah, and I don't think
by the end of it, he's doing great.
Now here's a question:
he's got like Ferraris.
Is he meeting other women who are fully aware at this point of what he has done, and they're still doing this? I mean, I want to know. And is he still doing the same MO, which is, oh, I got, here's another picture of my bodyguard with the supposed cut on his head. Can I? I need your credit card. You know,
I bet he's worked out a new grift. Here's the interesting thing. He really was running an enterprise version of the same scam over and over and over again, using same language, same. I suspect he had scripts, right? Mm. He had, you know, the ways that he laid it. You know, now we're going to do this, then we're going to shoot the same pictures, the same story. And I think he probably is sophisticated enough to realize that he needed a new one. Because Israel, the other thing is, Israel's a really small country. Like, you can't hide in Israel real easily. Right. And you can't, you know, like, if he can't leave because presumably Interpol still wants him, he may not be able to leave Israel right now. So
I would say twice while watching this, I had to stop and write down two quotes that jumped out at me. And the first one is, first of all, the first one was, I think it was Cecilia, who after, you know, they went for a walk, they went for a stroll and the whole thing. And then by the end of their date, after 3 hours, quote, I felt that he knew me. Really?
This is again, what I'm saying. These women, they are fooling themselves because they think they just picked up a lottery ticket.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. No, I think that's...
I'm more sympathetic to them than you are, I think, a little bit, JBL, just because I do think that there is... I think loneliness is real, unlike some people on this show.
No, it is.
And they search for, you know, an escape from it. And if that escape happens to have a private jet, so be it.
These women, I'm sorry, they have Tinder. They never have to be lonely except by choice.
How much of it
is this isn't about loneliness. It's about lonely. They want a certain kind of company.
Right, because I see, obviously, this is a documentary. I mean, this part is fictitious. It's not her actively, the woman's actually, we're not actually watching her swipe left or right. But, you know, they go through people, guys who look perfectly normal, but nope, not. And then all of a sudden, oh, here's the guy on, you know what it was? He was on the sailboat on, like, the Mediterranean. Okay, the other one is this. The other girl, the second woman, Pernilla, who is she is the Swede, I think. She's not even a girlfriend, but a friend. She's a third wheel.
Her story does not very make weird. Sense.
No,
at all.
She gave him money, even though she's not getting anything from him. Shall we say?
So she just thinks of him as an incredibly close friend and somebody she can trust. And so she gave him a couple hundred thousand dollars.
Totally.
This is not.
So there's more.
None of this adds up here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Either she herself comes from an insane amount of money, right? Like, you know, really, or there is something else to the relationship, or she is.
Right.
Dumb. I mean, I don't like, there's just no other.
No, because she gave him how much money and also was not dating him, because she talks about being flown. Okay, fine. You're a friend. That's like the double con. Not only does Simon.
She's like part of the entourage.
Right. Not only does Simon get her money, he doesn't actually have to have sex with her. He's just, you know, getting her money as a quote a friend. And because she talks about meeting the Russian girlfriend.
Yeah.
And this is the other quote that stood out, because you see this Russian girlfriend and Pernilla says, quote, she seemed very down to earth. And it was a picture of her, like, doing a selfie. And it was like the worst thing I'd ever seen, like, her on this boat or whatever. I'm like, yeah, she seemed really down to earth. That's great.
Yeah, that didn't really make sense. Honestly, I would have liked to have spent more time with the journalists.
Oh, yeah. That part,
three
I think we all like that.
Who
investigative journalism.
I like that. Qua documentary, this is long. It is padded to. So I watched it on 1.5 speed, and it still struggled to hold my attention because the material isn't good enough, but because
it doesn't need to be this long.
It's just not, even at 1.5 speed, there isn't actually enough in it. I only talk into these three women it's like it actually is thinner than it should be.
Yeah,
and it's flabby and padded, but on the material, there should be more material.
I like the thing that they did structurally, where they basically run through the same story three times. Mm-hmm. It just said each of those iterations should have been like the first one should have been shorter, and then the second one should have been like mm-hmm. cut even more. Like if you're gonna do that, you have to like keep it moving. You got to really keep it zipping.
It felt like 40% of this movie was watching them do Google searches and just typing names. Yeah. And then you can see the Google autofill until, I mean, what are we watching here? This is just, this is the whole thing was just this Google searches on screen.
I'm curious to see how all the lawsuits from this shake out. I mean, so like the bodyguard is suing Netflix and saying, you know, I was misrepresented. Mm-hmm. I think Simon has like threatened lawsuits, but the family also the actual Levev family has sued Simon.
Oh sure,
because he's you know been trading as, on their as name. They should. I'm like, right? That is a part of the story that I would like to know more about in 5 years once all these things shake out.
Right. I mean, I mostly understood what was happening here, except they didn't really explain how he faked the process of him faking his way into the Leviev family. I mean, because they don't actually tell you until later, I think, that, you know, Leviev doesn't have a son and that he must have photoshopped himself. But what about the articles that they found where they mentioned him? So did Simon Leviev just, you know, did he create these fake, you know, pages and put them up and they're, you know, finding that? And I mean, I would like to know a little bit more about that part of the
creating his legend would have been interesting.
I don't understand.
And this is what the movie really needed was for Simon to be in jail and to talk. So we needed a Tiger King like
right.
him on the inside, and having it without him explaining how we did it leaves you vaguely unsatisfied. And by the way, do you know that we're getting a dramatic version of Tiger King?
A movie.
On Hulu? Is it a movie or a series?
I think it's a series.
Starring.
Looks terrible. Starring Kate McKinnon.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
I can't understand anything that symbolizes the absurdity of the streaming wars more than the fictitious series about the docu-series.
Yes.
About a thing that nobody's ever heard of.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Quickly, the Dutch girlfriend, the third woman in Tinder Swindler, she gets attacked by whom? She is assaulted.
That is tossed away in a sense to such a degree that I believe that it looks like she was just mugged months before this happened.
Yeah.
But yet it is presented with a sort of, well, who knows?
Who knows? Right. Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought. There was this suggestion that there was some connection. Yeah. But I was like, really?
Yeah.
And I love that she, I really got even with him by selling his clothes on eBay. You know? Oh, yeah, that must have been great.
So what, Vic, how did it do in the quadrants?
It did not do well. The plot, again, I had B+, but there were a lot of questions. I understood, obviously, he's conning these women easy. But again, as we just discussed, there were still questions like what is going on with this person, that person, what happened? Okay, duration is a D. It was slightly under 2 hours, but it felt much longer. Again, it's like I felt like most of it is me watching them type in Google searches. Action and violence is a D. Now, there were photos of violence, but they're alleged violence. We don't know. I think that whole thing could have been faked. And he's verbally abusive. Sex nudity, sadly, is an F. I would have given it a better grade. I would have given it a better grade if they even talked about details. I don't even care. It's a documentary. You don't have any footage of it. You know, dramatization would be good. And if they don't have dramatization, how about tell us, what did you do? You know, it's no, nothing.
What do we think the odds are that these women did not do selfie porn stuff with Simon? Because I would say the odds that those things don't exist is around zero.
All right. Let me look into it. Give me 5 minutes. I'll let you know.
No.
Let me effort that, as you would say.
No, I'm not saying publicly. I'm just saying that they were WhatsApping back and forth.
Yeah. Well, certainly there were some. They suggested some photos.
You mean,
so.
Yeah, you mean like nude photos sent back and forth.
Yes, Sunny. That is to which I'm referring.
Text messages.
Sexting,
yeah.
Naked images.
Yeah.
What do we think the odds are that happened?
Oh, no, definitely. Definitely because there were...
100% they sent legitimate ones and he sent fake ones.
Even the sects were fake. That's terrible. Okay. And then in the end, of course, they tried to brace for, you know, they published the story and brace for the comments because there would be a lot of unfriendly people out there. And I just wondered how many of them, which ones did you write, JVL? That's what I was trying to figure out.
I'm not going to like jump on their, you know, I'm not going to celebrate their misfortunes. But also, I have a very hard time feeling sorry for them. Mm-hmm. The world is filled with real victims.
Yeah.
Right. Obviously. And the world is also filled with people who are victimized through no fault of their own and who had no control over mm-hmm. the things which happened mm-hmm. to them. Mm-hmm. Somebody who meets a sub-literate guy who's pretending to be Eurotrash, who writes in crayon like he's six,
yeah.
and yet claims he's a billionaire and then decides they're going to take out $250,000 of loans and hand it to him because he has said that we're building a foundation and I want to spend the rest of my life. At some point, I'm sorry. This is just Darwinism. Like, I am very sorry for your misfortune, I guess. Yeah. But this is a little bit like being sad for the, you know, the animal that can't quite reach the top. You know, like
like being sad for a panda.
The circle of life is speaking.
Sonny, do you have any other thoughts on this? I agree with you. I don't know. You know, as Carrie Fisher said to Bruno Kirby in When Harry Met Sally, promise me I'll never have to go out there again.
Never. I never want to have to deal with this.
Man.
I never want to have to trick multiple women. No, that's giving me their
I was talking
to Kate.
I said,
just the worst.
I mean, I would have to do all sorts
again.
I would have to do all sorts of camera trickery. You know, because people are judging you before they even get to know your wonderful sense of humor. They're looking at, you know, they're judging the first and foremost is now strictly physical attraction before they get to know anything else. And I just have to do, you know, all sorts of like angles for my head because otherwise.
You need to get Peter Jackson to help you with your selfies.
Yeah. Like how we did with the Hobbits and stuff like that.
Like
Just shrink me.
Stand next to a giant,
yeah, you know,
put
who,
like a
you,
gallon of milk next to your head, but let hold it over.
Yes, exactly, Sonny, exactly.
Look, where it's this, my head's right yeah. next to this gallon of milk.
Otherwise, JVL can help me here. You know who they'll match me? You know who'll click swipe right will be the giant woman from Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Hagrid's love interest. That she'll say, "Oh, yeah, perfect size for me, a perfect match."
Madame Maxine.
Thank you. I knew you would know her name. Okay. Moving right along then. A spirit of the week? Are you drinking anything?
Nobody. No, just water.
Everybody
just
very abstemious today. Corrections? Shout-outs? Anything? No? Okay. I do want to point...
Actually, there was a correction. Keep going.
No. I just wanted to say, I wanted to clarify from last week that you know something I said was misconstrued, and I had been accused of saying that Kate Mara was not attractive. And I did not say that. I said that, you know, she basically, like another friend of ours said, looks simian. And there's nothing wrong with it. She's a hot simian. Hot simian.
She's a hot monkey.
Like Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah, yes. Like I made a joke about Dick Luger. I mean, it's just, you know, they're related. Everyone looks like an animal, you know, okay.
The correction was, Man in the Iron Mask did not dethrone Titanic. It came in second to Titanic at the same time that Titanic was number one.
I wonder what finally dethroned Titanic.
It was Lost in Space a few weeks after that. So,
wow. Joey Tribbiani.
According to Jake, sent in his correction. Thank you, Jake. But he says this is from the message on the Patreon. Man in the Iron Mask came in second place when it debuted on 3/13/98. The film to dethrone Titanic came after 15 weeks at number one. Was Lost in Space a few weeks later on 3/31/98.
How long did that last for? Starring the great Lacey Chabert as well, by the way.
Oh yeah,
Gary Oldman.
Right. Oh man, Gary Oldman. Okay,
and Heather Graham.
Wow, what a cast! What a
Matt LeBlanc
cast. That is all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, compliments, tweet us at SunnyBunch at Victorina Mattis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on Patreon. Please tell your friends. Just go to subbeacon.com. We're there. Until next time. All right, what do you got? If you don't have anything, I have. But go ahead.
Victorino, it's all you.
Okay. Are any of you into Wordle? Wordle. Do you play Wordle? You play Wordle.
Every day.
Okay.
Every day I play Wordle.
Pass.
Do you know how? I for the longest time,
do you
JBL.
Know, do you know of Wordle?
Yeah. No, yeah. I know of Wordle.
Okay. For the longest time, I avoided even understanding.
Yeah, and then you said yes because you wanted to have something to talk to people about so that they would be your friend.
How dare you? How dare you? But you see on Twitter, all the people are just posting their results like, oh, it got in through whatever. So I'm like, what am I looking ahead at? This makes no sense. So I finally understood. Ah, I get it. That's interesting. But do you know that there is another version? There's also Worldle, if you're into maps, and it's like you have to guess the shape of the country, and they give you a shape of the country, you have to guess what it is, and you get five tries, and then it gives you longitudinal, latitudinal sort of directions, how far you're off, and by kilometers, which is kilometers, which is really interesting. And then the last one is Ludl, L-E-W-D-L-E, which...
I'm aware of all of these.
Yes, my brother-in-law
what says. What is Ludl?
Ludl is obscenities. Five.
It's Wordle, but it's lewd.
It's yes, five-letter obscenities. My brother-in-law told me very popular at his construction site. That's what they don't.
How
they don't
many five-letter obscenities are there?
It's interesting. There's some really ones that are questionable and like really crude.
Most of them are four-letter.
This makes it really interesting. I tried it once. I solved it in two tries.
Could there be 100 different five-letter obscenities?
I don't know. I just did it once and solved it in two tries, and the word was.
What?
That was I'm ending this. It's not fine.